This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Famma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, I am reading from translation of this book about Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, which is called The Devotion, Dhikr, and alhamdulillah, some very beautiful lessons which I think are well worth us to think about and reflect on and implement in our lives. The hadith of Rasulullah sallam, where he said, which means, if I direct you to do something, do what you are able to do. Now, based on this hadith, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, the great scholar of Islam and the author of many, many books, one of the most famous of them is, or two of them, one is Riyadhus Salihin and the other one is Arba'in An-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh and Riyadhus Salihin, which I think all of us are aware of and we have read in part or completely. He says that anyone who gains knowledge of an excellent act should put it into practice at least once in order to be counted among the people who did it. It is not proper to learn of something good and then fail to put it into practice. So it is very important to, the whole focus in Islam always is on action, because it's only action that you can take to the market, so to speak. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, as in connection with the dhikr, with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the meaning of which is, Allah has not required any obligatory act of worship, farida, of his slaves, but he gave it a well-known limit, hudud, had, of when, where, and how it is to be done, while granting valid excuses to people who are unable to do it, except in the case of the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not set a limit which one must always adhere to, and Allah did not excuse anyone for leaving it aside, unless his intellect is overpowered by illness or incapacity, meaning unless the person, you know, goes into dementia or something like that, the person is not exempt from making dhikr. On the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his slaves to make his dhikr in all situations. And he said, and what a glorious one is he to speak, he said, so make mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down on your side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he mentioned in the famous ayat of Surah Ali Imran also, where he said, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. These are the intelligent people, أَلُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying on their sides. And then Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Oh, who you believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. So that is during the night and the day, on the land, on the sea, in the air, when you're traveling and at home, and if you are wealthy and healthy, and if you are poor and sick, silently and aloud and in every state. This is very important to remember and do. Now, it's also in accordance with the Sunnah that we set aside a certain time also to make Azkar. Now, in this, we have the Azkar of the morning, Azkar of the evening, the Azkar we make after Salatul Fajr, the Azkar we make after Salatul Maghrib, the Azkar we, Azkar is the plural of Zikr, Azkar we make before we go to bed, the recitation of for example, Surah Al-Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk, and for those who want to do that, Surah Al-Waqia, the recitation of Surah Yasir in the morning, and all of this, these are all, and many more obviously, these are all, recommended. definitely the making istighfar, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pardon in that. Many, many times a day, we have the hadith of Rasulullah where he said, I seek pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times a day. And the Sahaba said, we also counted 100 times. So imagine what we need to do. Also sending salat and salam on Rasulullah, Durood Sharif, more and more and more as much as possible. All of these things are are highly recommended. And these are things which we must make a permanent part of our life. This is something that we must do on a daily basis without fail. Now, so never leave them out. The benefit of having these as fixed, say for example, you say, I will send Salat and Salam on Rasulullah, recite Durood Sharif 100 times a day, I will make Istighfar 100 times a day, and so on. And I will do the Tasbih Fatimi after the first Salah, which was the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, all of these things, we must make this into a permanent part of our lives. Take for example the Adhkar, the Dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did after every Salah. After every first Salah, he would recite, he would say Astaghfirullah 3 times, then he would recite Ayat al-Kursi. You can vary the order of this, but you know, this is the usual order. He would recite Ayat al-Kursi, then he would recite the Surat al-Ikhlas and the Muwaddatain, Surat al-Falaq and Surat al-Nas, in all the first Salah, one time each, except for Maghrib and Fajr, where he would recite these 3 times each. And then he would do Tasbih Fatimi, which is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar 33 and 34 times. And then he would say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, yuhi wa yumit, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. He would do this 10 times. And then he would make dua, right? So the point is that many times we see people who immediately after the first salah, they raise their hands and they make dua. And they make dua loudly. They sometimes insist on the imam that he should also make dua. And if he doesn't make dua, then they criticize the imam. But the sunnah muakkada, the established sunnah of Rasulullah, which is to make the adhkar before making dua, this we forget. We don't do this. Also, the fact that after making dua, after first salah, this is something which Rasulullah and the Sahaba, they did it, but they did it individually. And they did it silently. Now, there were times when, because of need, Rasulullah also made dua publicly and loudly. But he did not make dua only after first salah, and he did not make dua after every first salah as a habit. He never did that. So insisting on that can amount to starting a bidah in Islam, which is highly reprehensible. So anyway, without going into all that, the point I'm making here is that these azkar and others, including reading some portion of the Quran every single day. This is another very, very important thing to do. Some portion of the Quran. So I always recommend that we wake up for tahajjud. Wake up 1 hour before the time for Salatul Fajr starts. Pray tahajjud. At least 2 rakat. If Allah gives tawfiq, 4 or 6 or 8. And then read one juz, one sipara of the Quran. And then go to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. Now this whole process will take, you know, 2 hours. But remember that those 2 hours are 2 hours spent in worship. These are 2 hours for which you and I, if we do it, will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Right? Every breath we take in those 2 hours is worship. So alhamdulillah, it's not something to be seen as a burden. Oh my God, 2 hours. Think about that. 2 hours in the beginning of every single day. When you start the day, you begin with 2 hours of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can be more mubarak than that? Right? What can be more blessed than that? And with what else can you expect the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than with doing this? So we need to develop an attitude of searching for and running after the blessing and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Ata'ullah rahmatullah alayhi, he says supplications, du'as have arkan, which hold them up. The rukun means like buttresses or pillars, which hold them up. They have wings that let them fly up to the heaven. They have special times for acceptance and special conditions, asbab, for success. If a person plants the arkan, the buttresses, the pillars firmly and in the right way and sets the wings loose to fly, the dua, the supplication, mounts up towards heaven. If he makes them at the right times, he will reap great rewards. If he makes them under the right conditions, he will receive great success. The pillars of the supplication, the pillars of the dua, are the presence of the heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning of khushu with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in khushu, in khashyat of Allah, in his awe, fearful awe, being self-effacing, being humble and broken before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having perfect hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite generosity. The wings of supplication of dua are truthfulness and eating what is lawful and pure. Believe me, I cannot possibly overemphasize this. Every single scholar of Islam, starting from Rasulullah, who is the greatest and the finest and the best of all of them, and then going, you know, after him to the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and the Tabi'in and others, every single person has always and always emphasized the fact that if you earn halal and if you eat halal only, will your dua be accepted. If you are earning haram and if you're eating haram, then your dua is not accepted, it is rejected. Eating something which is not lawfully slaughtered, meaning eating something that is not zabiha, is haram. It's like eating a roadkill. It's like eating a dead body. So please understand this. So he says, the wings, the things that take the dua up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are truthfulness, not telling lies, no ghibah, and eating, meaning earning and eating, physically eating and eating as in earning, that which is pure, lawful, halal. It's special times. The special times of dua are your free times, that is when your heart is free from everything other than Allah, and the times when you are by yourself, such as the time during the last third of the night. Again, we come back to the importance of the Hajj. Its conditions are to first send salutations upon Rasulullah, meaning to first glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to send durood and salam on Rasulullah, and then making your dua, because as Rasulullah said, duas which are never rejected if they have durood and salam on Rasulullah before and after them. So imagine that this is like making parentheses or brackets between which your dua is and our dua is sandwiched, and then inshallah this dua is never rejected. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us duas which are never rejected, and to accept our duas, and to grant us from that which He knows which is good for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.